Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Joshua Nunson. Thank you for the inspiration that he is and has been and always is, Father. And I just ask that you would take what I want to say this morning, Father, that the stuff that you put in my heart, and you would make it real and alive and inspirational and educational, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been studying the life of Joshua Nunson, and I'm quite conscious it's 5 to 12. And Joshua has been such an inspiration. If you want to find out what we thought about Joshua and what we spoke on about Joshua, go on to www.libertychurch.ie, get on the podcast, download them, and listen for yourself, and you will be really, really encouraged. But, you know, the more I read Joshua, and I thought I was going to say farewell to Joshua this week, but there's a lot more in this guy. And the more I read into it, and the more I look, and the more I research, it's like, no, there's more for Joshua to say to us. There's more that the Lord wants to speak to us through. It's been brilliant talking to people, and they say, you know your man Joshua Nunson? It's that Joshua Nunson has been coming a bit of a legend just by that name in our midst. And I've been blessed in my reading of him. But you know, God had taken the people of Israel, the Israelites, the Hebrew children, out of Egypt, where they were in slavery, in bondage. It was the land of never enough, do you remember? It was the land of slavery and eating crumbs, and they never had anything. And he brought them out through Moses, through the deliverance of Moses, into the land of just enough, which was the desert, which was the land where they just had enough bread every morning and just enough pair of shoes, and everything was just enough. And his dream was to lead them into their inheritance, which was the land of Canaan, which was the land of more than enough. And when the people of Israel came out of the desert, across the Jordan, if you remember that a couple of weeks ago, they were going into a whole new world. They were going into a place where they could really never had imagined, because a generation that came out of Egypt had died in the desert. A generation was seen of, and a new generation was birthed, and a new generation was being raised up. So they didn't really have a lot of understanding of what it could be, but they had the promises of God that was told through the prophets of old. It was a whole new world, a place that would be their own. A place that God had sectioned off for Israel. They were now had the opportunity to be the head and not the tail. They were going to go through a process to learn how to possess the land that God had given them. That every possession, there's always a procession. There's always a progression of going into the land that you possess. Your land could be something very personal to you. It could be your mind, it could be your heart, it could be a redeeming of your past, it could be a healing of your heart, that your land could be very, very personal to you. In this case, it was a vast land called Canaan. In their world and in a visionary leader's world, my land is not just my land, which is personal, which may be my something within me, but my land is my city and my nation. And I look out upon our city and our nation, and I'm like, I'm taking this thing. God has put something in my spirit that I'm like, I can't stop till we see something of our nation come to heal, come to submit, come to know the grace and the mercy of a God. Can God take a city? Yes, he can. Can God take a nation? Yes, he can. And the way any army invaded a country, they always started with this, with the capital. They always started with the city, because if you take a city, you will take a nation. And he was bringing them into this whole new world. It was like a burden. It was like a burden of something new and something fresh. It was the dreamland. And I want you to turn in your Bible to chapter 14 of Joshua. They got to the place, they had taken Jericho, taken Ai, had great victories in battle. They had conquered kings, subdued cities and subdued armies. They were in the process to possess. And so Joshua came to this place in 14. It says in chapter 13, just like as a bit of a... Now Joshua Nunson was old and advanced in years. I knew him since he was a kid. I've been traveling with this guy, and we've been walking with him now for 5 or 6 weeks. And when you read him, you just get to know him. You get to, like, that's what Joshua was like. And now he's old and advanced in years. And the Lord told him in chapter 13, and the Lord said to him, "You're old and advanced in years, and there remains much land to possess." There was still land to be taken. And in chapter 14, all through 13 up to 14, the land that had been taken and the land that had to be taken and needed to be taken, he started to void it up. He said, "Here, there's your dream land. There's your dream land. There's your dream land." It says in 14, "These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan." It says in verse 29 of chapter 13, Moses had also given an inheritance to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 24, it says, Moses in chapter 13, Moses had given an inheritance to the tribe of Gad. All the tribes had been sectioned off. Their land had been sectioned off, saying, "This is your land. If it's not taken, go and take it. If it's not taken now, you need to go and take it, because I'm bringing you in to a new place, into a new land." The land was theirs. God had given it to them. Now they had to go and take it. Now they had the knowledge, and they rested in the knowledge that God said, "Do it and I'll be with you." And when they done it, God was with them and they received. Yet they would have to go in and fight. Yet they would have to go in and step onto the battleground. Yet they would have to go in and step up to the city like Jericho. It's when we step out to receive and to take our inheritance. When we step out, God steps in. Most of the times we want it to happen. "Well, Lord, I'll just sit here and I'll wait on it." And God is saying, "No, you take a step." It's your step of faith that activates the power and the presence of God to take what God has for us. It's not sitting down. Can you imagine if God said, "Cross over the Jordan, we'll wait here, Lord"? Remember, it was when they stepped out into the Jordan that God stepped in. Remember, he says to them, "You step in." It was when they got circumcised. It's when they stepped out and believed God for the circumcision that God stepped in and removed the reproach of Egypt. Do you remember? It was when they marched around Jericho. There's too many people, Christians, sitting on their backside saying, "God said it. God said it. God said it. God said, I will take every place I put my foot, I will take." Well, you won't take unless you put your foot onto the place that you need to take. It's no good saying, "God will hear me, God will hear me, God will hear me," and you never once went into the process of forgiveness. "Well, God will hear me, God will hear me." No, you step out and God will step in. You step out. They stepped out and started walking around Jericho, and God stepped in and the walls fell. It was when they stepped in to require, "What's going on, Lord?" when they were taking Ai, that God answered them and Ai was taken. It was when Joshua stepped onto the battlefield that he prayed and spoke to the sun, and the sun stood still. It's hard to say that with false teeth. Say it, the sun stood still. Now you understand. It's when we step out that the Lord steps in. And Joshua said to them, "There's your land. This is what we've sectioned off. This is what was promised you. Now go and take it. Go and dream. Go and take what God has promised. Go and be dreamers, because only dreamers take the inheritance. Not daydreamers that sit behind. And for all good purpose and intent, they just wait and wait and wait. If they would have waited, they would have died old. Instead, they said, "No, I'm going to step out and believe that God has something for me. I'm going to go to my land, whether it's flat country or hill country. I'm going to go to that land and believe in that God has said he will give it to me." Their destiny, the destiny of God, was wrapped up in their DNA. He'd put it into their DNA from when they were little children coming out of Egypt that God has a land. God has a land. God has a land. And I love the fact, I love what's happening in this church and around our city. That like for years it's the leader saying, let's take the city. Let's reach out to the city. Let's love our city. Let's belong in the city. Let's be a voice in the city. And all the leaders used to say it for years. But now it's the congregations. Now it's the children starting to say, we're taking the city. What can I do to help take the city? Oh, there's a little house in Tala with 8 young girls, all of them 16, 17 years of age, and they all have babies. Well, let's take that bit of the city. How do you take a city? One person at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bit at a time. Don't get me wrong, it's not just all about the vastness. Because Canaan was huge, but they broke it down. And you take that one. And you take this bit. And you take that bit. That we have been in our DNA. God has wrapped up inside of you and me something to do for him. That's why, do you ever ask yourself the questions, why do I think this way? Why do I, when I see an injustice, I want to do something about it? Because God has put something in your spirit. He's put something in your DNA. Why do I want to be an educator? God put it in your spirit to be that. Why do I want to help broken people? God has put it in it. Why do I want to write a book? Why do I want to make a difference? Why do I want to cause that project to happen? That business idea, that mission trip. Why is that in me? Because God has put it in you. You and I were designed by God to carry his dreams and his purposes in our lives. It was in the Israelites. No, it's ours. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours. That what God has promised you is yours. You have to step out and start taking a hold of it so that you can possess it for you and for your family and for your future. I read this. I'm not a scientist, so I don't fully understand it, but it excites me. A man called Roy H. Williams. He says that our bodies contain approximately 100 million sensory receptors that allows us to see, hear, taste, touch, and smell the physical reality. That our bodies contain 100 million sensory receptors that enables us to hear, to taste, to touch, to smell the physical reality. But the brain, he says, contains 10,000 billion spaces. There's a big word there, but I looked it up. It's synapses, but it means spaces between the cells, the neurons. This means we're roughly 100,000 times better equipped to experience a world that does not exist than the world that does exist. That God has poured in us. How do you receive a dream of God? He's put his word, you and me. His word, our mind, our brain, it's in our DNA to be able to receive something from another world, his world, that causes this world to look something like heaven. Imagine the possibilities that have never yet been realized that is at our doorstep in this world that we live in. This is the church's time, I believe with all my heart. This is our time. People are looking for hope. Hello. The hope of the nation lives in us. People are looking for community. Genuine community. People that will stand with each other and walk with each other through difficult times. That will rejoice with each other in the successful times. Are we not made for this? They're looking for people that will learn them how to forgive those who've hurt them. Are we not made for this? Well, they're looking for people that's able to bring the reality of God into their world so that love and joy and peace and goodness and patience and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control can be theirs in their world. Well, word for this. It's like the ages are coming together where the church is not hiding away. We're not afraid to be a Christian. We're not afraid to show our love and our acceptance of people. We're not afraid to say, look, I have a God. I'll pray to you, to my God, and he will make something happen. They said to Jonah, Jonah, pray to your God. Pray to your God. Because he'll make the storm stop. That's another hard one with
False teeth. Well, wired. You're geared. Don't say I'm too old, I'm too young. Don't say I've blown it. Don't say I'm not being faithful. Don't say I'm not reading enough, praying enough, fasting enough, giving enough. Don't say all that. You've already been wired. Ephesians says, before the beginning of the world, he says, you are God's workmanship. And he has works for you to do, and he had them tore up in his mind before the beginning of the world even. That's how much God thinks about us. 4,000 or 5,000 years later, Stephen May is born. God says, yeah, I already had your stuff wrapped up for you. I already had it encoded in your DNA. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you've done what you've done. That's why you couldn't make sense of some of this stuff, but it was in you. Because he coded you with this stuff. Isn't that wonderful? Does that excite you? Okay, tell your face that then. Okay.
Sorry. I don't know whether you were in deep thought or like, I'm boring the life out of you. Say amen. Amen. Come on, with a bit more passion. Amen. Amen. Amen means so be it. Okay, let's look at some of the steps that Joshua Nun's son took to see the dream come to reality. The word dream is going to help us today. I'll get Malachi a slide if we can go up there. And listen to the scripture in Joshua 18. Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you take the possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? He says, how long will you wait? He was getting old in age, you know what I mean? He was advanced in age. He was like, come on, guys, I haven't got much time left. But how long is it going to take you to take your possession? You can nearly see him grabbing some of the leaders by the neck saying, what's keeping you? Do you not believe that God will do what he already said he would do and he already showed us he would do? He says to them, how long will it take you? How long will you wait before you take your possession? Appoint 3 men from each tribe. I will send them out to make a survey of the land and write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. As the men started on their way, as they started to go to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, go and walk and make a survey of the land and write its description. Then return to me and I will cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord. Joshua said, make a decision to go. If you have a pen, write D. Make a decision to go. Make a decision to go. He says, men, how long will it take? Make a decision. See, fulfilling your dream starts with a decision. It starts with, I am going to go. I'm going to step out. I am going to believe God. I'm going to move out of the place that I'm at. And I'm going to decide to take the land that God has afforded to me. Decide to take your freedom. Decide to take Freedom City. Decide to take your mind back. Decide to take your family back. Decide to take the high country. Decide to take Africa, Finglas, Clondalkin, Limerick, Galway. Decide to take your inheritance. Decide if you're going to be someone that reaches young people. Decide today that you're going to take that youth country. You're going to decide to be an educator. Decide to be an inspiration to a generation. Decide to write music. Decide to write your songs. Decide to write your books and your poetries and your sermons. Decide today. Decide to reach business people, political people, poor people. Decide today to invade the world of art, the world of finances. Decide, my gift, Lord, I want to invade your world. And I'm deciding today, Jesus, that it's yours. And I'm giving it on to you so that I can be somebody that can go and do what you've asked me to do. Decide, make a decision. He said, go. He said, walk. You walk it out, he will work it out. Walk it out. Put feet to what your dream is. Put feet, if it's to be a teacher, put feet to it and start going to school. If it's to be someone that helps the poor, start giving a cup of cold water to somebody. If it's to be a politician, start learning politics. If it's to be a writer, write. If it's to be a musician, start picking up the guitar, drums, xylophone, clarinet, triangle, whatever. Start. He said, go, put feet to it. Don't sit around thinking, I'm going to get my inheritance, I'm going to get my inheritance. You will die without it. Don't you dare die without it. If you walk it out, he says, walk. If you walk it out, God will work it out. If you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. He says, go, walk. He says, survey the land. Joshua was saying, take stock of what you need to do. Take an honest stock of the situation. Don't just say, I'm going to go and I'm going to walk. He says, start writing. What do I need to do? What do I need to put into place to see my dream come to pass? What do I need to start taking out my life now so that it won't rob me of my dream later? What type of training do I need? What type of learning do I need? Can I find someone else that is living the dream so I can ask them, how come you're living your dream? How come, what are you doing that you're walking this with God? What's the secrets? What's the, Peter, me and Peter was talking during the day, and every time we met an older Christian, and we still do, we ask the question. What was it again?
Three things that they would value above all else in their walk with God.
Three things that they would value above all else in their walk with God. Ask them. They're sitting beside you. What's the three things you would value above all? See what joints are to be taken out. See what fortified cities that need to be invaded. See what cities of fear, shame, unbelief, old mindsets that says you cannot do this, that you're no good, that you will fail, you'll be laughed at by your friends and family and colleagues. Go to those cities, take survey. Okay, what do I need to start developing? What do I need to start coming against? What do I need to start believing for God to uproot and destroy and to pull down for me to go into possess my inheritance? Until you survey the land, you will not know what it will take to fulfill your dreams. And Joshua says, go, walk, survey. Remember what principles and lifestyle that secures your inheritance. Joshua says to them, listen to what he says to them. He reminded them that in fulfilling their dream, what it took for them to get to the Canaan land in the first place. This is what he said. He had all the tribes before him in chapter 22. He says, be careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Be careful to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. He says, this is what got us our inheritance, and this is what will secure and keep our inheritance. He says, listen to what he said. He says, take careful heed to the word of God. He says, love the Lord your God. Have no one before him. Love him. Survey our lives and go, Lord, is there anything before you in my life? Ask him. He'll answer you. Obey what he says. Obey what he says, because that's where the victory is in obedience. If they were saying, we're not walking up to that Jordan, it's going to part. No way. That's ridiculous. They wouldn't have crossed over. They obeyed. And he's seen a miracle. Joshua said, walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. Not your ways, his ways. Not the world's ways, his ways. He says, guys, remember how we got it? He was speaking to the whole tribe. Hold fast to him. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold on to him. Hold on to where he's going. If he's going somewhere, hold on fast. Be steadfast in what you believe and what you're holding on to. Hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. This is the recipe for the dreams of God being fulfilled. Joshua said, now, guys, remember, keep them. So if D was for decision, decide to walk in his ways. Decide to follow him. Well, the R in the word dream, it mustn't have come true, I'm sorry. Spent all night putting that together. Only joke. But the R is for remember. Decide to take a dream and remember. Remember that there's a birth of a dream. Remember that there's a declaring of the dream. When you tell somebody, when God puts in your heart, it's the birth. The declaring is telling somebody. There's a time when you have to fight for your dream. There's a delay in the dream. Like every pregnancy doesn't happen There's no delivery overnight. And the same with a dream. There may be even a death of a dream. Sometimes when we make the dream all about us, God makes it, causes it to die. But you know he's into resurrection, don't you? And when it's resurrected, it's his dream that you're living now. And there's also fulfillment of the dream. Remember that there's a season, there's a process of the dream coming to realization. You might be stuck, you might think, oh man, this dream, it's gone. No, it's not. It's just in the process. It's just waiting to come to the fulfillment end of it. You may need to fight for it today. You may need to know that there's a delay for a purpose. You may need to think, I need to put this dream to death because this dream has become before God. This dream has become my idol. This dream has become, I'm possessed by a dream that is, I don't longer seek God. I'm no longer looking for the dream giver. The dream is everything, and you may need to put that thing to death. Saying, God, I'm letting it go because it's taking your place. And Moses, or Joshua said to him before that, and he says, love the Lord your God. Don't have a dream before him. Here's the challenge. I try this every year. I hope it's true. I say to God every year, Jesus, you're enough for me. No applauds. I don't care, Lord. No appraisals of people. If I never preached again, if I never seen another bigger building, Jesus is still enough. Because it's not the dream, it's the dream giver. You may need to bury that dream, but believe me, God will resurrect it. You need to remember that there's cycles in the dreams. You need to remember that your dream will probably not look like what you think it will look like, because God's ways are higher than yours. Your dream, you have to remember that your dream will require more of you than you probably think right now. It will require more of you than you probably think. Remember that your dream will require the death of things in you that may threaten the dream. Be encouraged. If the R is for remember, E is for being encouragement. Be encouraged because God's dream is designed to do stuff within you. There you go, Mal, you're a genius. Be encouraged. That the dream is designed to challenge our faith. The dream is designed that my faith may be challenged. The dream is designed to encourage me that my heart would be awakened. You know what, guys? I'm alive. And when the dreams of God is in you, it awakens something in you. That's what was once dormant. All of a sudden, it's like, man, I'm living. Really living, really alive. Like there's something on the nerve ends of my fingers and my mind and my heart that when I'm in that zone with the dream of God, I'm like, this is what I was born for. I'm not talking about standing up here. That dream is alive when I give a poor person a penny or a smile. A dream is alive when you hug someone, when you see someone going on in Jesus, when you see someone encouraged. That is something in you that comes alive. You feel like you're living. That the dream is designed, it's there to encourage you because it's designed to cause your heart, your faith to be challenged, your heart to be awakened, your creativity to be released. Whatever God has called you to do, he's also put in you creativity to bring that to pass. It's also caused to be encouraged because the dream is designed to cause your character to be forged. It's there to cause you to be forged to fulfill the dream. Your selfishness gets forged into selflessness. And low thinking and low living gets forged into looking up and standing on higher grounds. Incredible stuff. Absolutely incredible. That sin that had me all over the place, the dream is there to encourage, to forge me into walking with God. Because the dreams of God becomes more important than the pleasures of sin. It forges your character. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be there. If no one else is there, I'm going to be there. It forges you. Are you in the process of being forged? It hurts sometimes. but it forges you. The dream, be encouraged, because the dream is designed so that God is honored, that destiny is fulfilled, and a generation is influenced. You're challenged in faith. You're awakened in the heart. You're released with creativity. You're forged. Your character is forged. God is honored. Destiny is fulfilled. And a generation is influenced. And the A is for adding value. Listen to what it says. Joshua 22 verse 1. Do you remember he said to those at the beginning that wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan? He says, now listen, you come over the other side, send all your fighting men, and you're going to help make their dreams come alive. And here's the A for the dream. Add value to someone else's dream. Add something. You want to see your dream come to pass? Add something to someone else's dream. Give into someone else's dream. Encourage. If someone says, I have a heart for reaching Aborigines in Southwest Australia, buy them a book. Buy them a book. Or buy them a ticket. Or give them a website that has something to do with it. Find something. It says to them, then Joshua summoned all the Reubenites. These were the men. These were the fighting men. The Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, chapter 22, you have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And you've obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now to this very day, you have not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission the Lord gave, your God gave you. Now that the Lord, your God, has given you, your brothers rest as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the Lord, your servant, gave you. He says, you know what? They were waiting their families for, between, it says, 7 and 14 years so that their brothers could possess their inheritance, so that families could come into their own. Add value to someone else's dream, ministry, passion. Add something. Don't be a taker. I stayed in a little house on a hill up in Arkansas, in America. And it's that little house that I told you I came out, and it was 4 a.m. in the morning, going to the airport. I'm getting into the car, and I look up, and I've never seen the stars. Like, I've just never seen that many stars. It was pitch black. It was like billions and billions of stars. A woman and a husband owned that house. And the woman always had a passion to have a house on our land where someone like me, I happen to be part of the fulfillment of our dream, and I'm sure hundreds more like me, that when a minister was going somewhere to preach, and instead of staying in a hotel, she wanted to build a house so that they could have a family environment where they could have, you know, stay and do what they want and sit and wait on God or cook a meal for themselves without being disturbed or without having to pay for a hotel. And I was living in this beautiful, beautiful little house. And but her husband wasn't a Christian. He was a mean old critter. He becomes a Christian and she always wanted to build this house and he wouldn't put a penny into it. He wouldn't put anything into it because he was a mean old critter. And he becomes a Christian. One day he surrenders to God and he hears the man preaching that, like, make someone's dream happen. And God will make your dream happen. And he goes home and he says to the little woman, he says, honey, I'm building your house. He says, I'm going to make your dream happen. And she said, why? She says, because I heard a truth today, a principle today, that if you help make someone else's dream happen, God will make my dream happen. Add value. And what's the last one up there? Mission. Mission possible. John F. K. said, some men see things as they are and say, why? He says, I dream of things that never were and say, why not? And many go, why, why? Why should that happen? And John F. K. said, he looks and goes, why not? Why will it not happen? Why should I not make it happen? I pray that liberty is a people of why not? So if you can't take a city, why not? You can't win a family like that to the Lord, why not? That person will never be Christian, never walk with God, why not? I will never get out of this situation. Why not? God is for me. He's on my side. Let us be individuals that say, not why in a sort of negative term, but why not in the positive. Let us be a church that says, no, why not? Why not should we be worshiping in the stadium? Why not? Who's put the limits on us? Let us be a generation Let us be a bunch of Christians that never surrender our dreams. That's what Joshua was saying to them. Walk with God. The mission's not impossible. Never surrender the dream. Keep walking with the Lord so that your dreams will never be surrendered. His dream is winning this world to himself. Do you want to know Jesus' dream? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus' dream. Nothing small about that, is it? Jesus, what do you want? The world. 6 billion. What's your passion? 6 billion. What's your passion? Liberties. Dublin. Ireland. The world. I'll finish with this. Walk by faith and not by sight for your dream. Don't let what we see dictate whether it's happening or not. Lift your eyes up to the King. If he said it, it will happen. Why walk by faith and not sight? Why should you never surrender your dream? Why should we be a church of why not? Why is the mission possible? Here's why. Philippians 1:6 says, that he who began the good work in you and me will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Why should we not? Because he started it, he will finish it. Amen. 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 Father, we love you. We bless you, and if the worship team can come back. And I couldn't let this morning go without listing off, let's stand, without listing off some of my dream that I try to do every year. And I've always thought about adding to it every single time, but I'll get around to that for next year. I was walking with my friend one day, and he says, what type of church do you want now? And I says, I want a church that has a heart for all types of people. And I was walking along the road with him, I says, wouldn't it be great to come up with a list from A to Z of different type of people that we want to reach in Liberty? So I came up with them. It's not the definitive, it's not exhaustive in any way, but it's part of the journey for me. So I'm going to list them A to Z, yeah? So A to Z would be a ministry, like a type of reaching out, a ministry A to the addicted, to the academics, and the abused. B would be a ministry to the broken, the bruised, and the bemused. C, a ministry to the cursed, the communities, and the condemned. D, a ministry to the disabled, the dysfunction, and the diseased. E, a ministry to the educated, the Europeans, and the emptied. F, a ministry to foreign nationals, fringe people, and the forgotten people. G, a ministry to the government, the gangsters, and the guilty. You can lump them all in one. H, a ministry to the homeless, the helpless, and the hungry. I, a ministry to the Islamic, the isolated, and the influential. J, a ministry to the jobless, the joyless, and the Joneses. K, a ministry to the kids, the kidnappers, and the carrymen. L, a ministry to the ladies, the laddies, the ladies, the laddies, and the lasses. M, a ministry to the money men, the meanie men, and the money men. N, a ministry to the nobodies, the nations, and the nobles. O, a ministry to the old folk, the odd folk, and the OTT folk. P, a ministry to the politicians, the police force, and the prisoners. Q, a ministry to the quitters of life's dreams, the quenchers of dreams, and the qualified dreamers. R, a ministry to the different races, the rich and the robbers. S, a ministry to the sexually confused, the sexually broken, and the suicidal. T, a ministry to travelers, tea makers, and teetotalers. U, a ministry to the uneducated, the unattractive, and the unapproachable. V, a ministry to the victims, the villains, and the victors. W, a ministry to the wannabes, the wish-I-could-bes, and the wishy-washy-bes. X, a ministry to the ex-husbands, ex-fellas, ex-wives, ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends, ex-judges, and the extra-large. Y, a ministry to the youth, the yobs, and the yoga experts. Z, a ministry to the people of Zion, the zealots, and the zany zookeepers. Amen. Amen. And if that doesn't incorporate our city, you need to add one for me. So Father, I thank you this day that you said that you'd pour out your spirit on all flesh, and they'll be dreamers, and they will have visions, and they will prophesy the very words of God. So Father, I ask you to pour out your spirit amongst us afresh this morning, and that whatever of this word that you broke off and put it into our lives this morning, whatever of this word that encouraged us or inspired us or challenged us, that we would take hold of it and we would say, Lord, I want to be you. Why not?